Supervision is a critical part of human resource management for the delivery of health services, and supervision is one of the key approaches to improving the quality of health care and performance of health care providers. And just as background, the ACQUIRE project stands for Access, Quality, and Use in Family Planning and Reproductive Health Services. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, Anna Kanyauskina, Betty Farrell, Henry Kakande, Nizamul Haik, Mizanur Rahman, and Mahbub E. Alam. So in this session, I will present a definition of facilitative supervision, a description of fundamentals of care. I will describe ACQUIRE's approach to strengthening supervision systems and some of the benefits of facilitative supervision. And throughout, I will give examples from different countries: Azerbaijan, Bolivia, Bangladesh, Cameroon, and Uganda. So what is facilitative supervision? In short, it emphasizes mentoring, joint problem solving, constructive feedback, and two-way communication between supervisors and those who are being supervised. Well-conducted supervision provides critical support to health workers. And if you're familiar with the performance improvement framework, there are five factors for improving performance, and three of those relate directly to the role of the supervisor. They are clear job expectations, performance feedback, and motivation. So supervisors who commit to meeting service providers' and clients' needs help to close the gap between actual performance and ideal performance. So I mentioned the fundamentals of care. These stem from various quality improvement and performance improvement models. We've heard about the Bruce Jane framework. Engender Health for many years has adapted a variation on an IPPF definition of clients' rights and providers' needs. And between those and performance improvement models, Engender Health has, especially under the ACQUIRE project, streamlined these into a very condensed set that we refer to as the fundamentals of care. These are built upon a framework of clients' rights and staff needs to ensure client-centered care and an enabling atmosphere for service providers. All three of these fundamentals are essential, and they must be in place. So it's not enough to have two out of three. In short, they are choice, which means ensuring informed and voluntary decision-making. This is starting with family planning methods, but it extends to all range of reproductive health services. Safety, particularly assuring safety for clinical techniques and procedures, and quality. And this is broad. It refers to having an ongoing mechanism in place for quality assurance and management. And by having that, you are able to address and explore all other dimensions of quality of care that aren't already covered under choice or safety. ACQUIRE has developed an approach to strengthening supervision systems, and since 2005 in Bangladesh, then Uganda, Bolivia, Azerbaijan, Cameroon, a specific curriculum was developed, tested, and adapted, and has been applied in different services and settings. So it's been adapted to family planning services, a broad range of reproductive health, and then especially to integrated family planning and HIV services. So different settings, different countries. And this facilitative supervision curriculum has, in some places, been incorporated into pre-service training curricula, for example, in Bolivia. In Uganda and Azerbaijan, leadership workshops have been developed for and conducted for national and district-level supervisors. And in all of the different countries, training has been given to all levels of supervisors. These are on-site and off-site supervisors, both medical and non-medical supervisors. In addition to developing and implementing a curriculum, a major part of the process has been to build local training capacity in facilitative supervision. We've developed tools and established mechanisms for monitoring and evaluation, and introduced related tools and approaches to improve the quality of care and provider performance, and advocated for supportive policy changes. Just to give you a sense of how many people have been trained, in Bangladesh, 140 supervisors were trained. Also, seven master trainers from the Ministry of Health and NGOs were trained as trainers. In Uganda, there were 63 supervisors trained and 3 trainers. Bolivia, 437 supervisors trained, 10 trainers. Azerbaijan, 23 supervisors have been trained, and this month, 8 master trainers are being trained. And I'd like to give you information from Cameroon, but a workshop was just conducted and don't have all the numbers in. But to give you a sense also about what is in the curriculum, these are some of the topics that are covered. There's a lot of information and practice thinking about what does quality of care mean, and you've heard some of the different thoughts and models related to quality of care. And supervisors do a self-assessment using a checklist that's based on performance improvement factors. So they, from the very start, think about how these topics relate to their own work and their own practice. There are topics on data for decision-making, including the importance of involving staff in data collection, analysis, and decision-making. There's work on leadership and communication skills, including building trust, leading staff through change, conflict management, mentoring, and coaching skills, and links between supervision and other support systems refers to supervisors analyzing all of the different systems that impact on their healthcare system, their national, their local, their district systems, and how specifically they play a role in advocating for resources and improvements to the health services in their area. And part of the training includes practice conducting supervisory visits. This has a focus on medical monitoring, but it covers a range of issues. So it includes time conducting a practical supervisory visit to a health facility, and the supervisors practice using medical monitoring checklists. And they do this in a participatory way. This part of the idea is to get away from the more traditional policeman-like approach and work together with the site staff to assess the current readiness and services that are in place in the site and jointly think about what are areas that require improvements and how could those improvements be made. So I'll start to show you some of the pictures and results from these different countries. So just an exercise that was conducted recently in Bolivia on team building. But it's not just all fun and games. What happens is we'll do exercises and then we'll have a lot of thought about how these relate to the interactions between supervisors and their staff and how people feel. So you'll see lots of action planning as part of this. So all of these different supervisors who have been trained and surveyed have described their changes in their own approach and their feelings about their work. And they have said that they now inform staff about upcoming supervisory visits, which is a change from previous practices, and that they are providing constructive feedback to their supervisees. Supervisors now participate in COPE exercises, and they support staff in their quality improvement efforts. COPE stands for Client-Oriented Provider Efficient Services, and it's one example of a process that's done every 3 months, every 6 months at a site to identify problems and develop solutions. Supervisors said they regularly conduct staff meetings to discuss issues for improvement. And, for example, this was mentioned in Bangladesh, Uganda, and Cameroon. And that in Uganda, staff said they reported that communication between supervisors and staff has significantly improved. In general, the supervisors say they define staff that they oversee as their own customers. So you have clients or customers of health services, but then among the staff, you have staff are customers of their supervisors. Another new practice is that at the end of supervisory visits, the supervisors meet with staff to discuss findings and help to develop an action plan. And they help to channel the information. So, for example, in Uganda, the supervisors provide minutes from their meetings with staff to the district health authorities to facilitate a dialogue about how to support the site for any of the needs that are identified that cannot be addressed with only the resources within the site. What then can the district health authorities help to support? And this is a quote from a manager at a health center in Uganda, my attitude toward service providers has changed. It has enabled me to focus on systems. I have become creative in using available resources to ensure clients are served. It has helped me to be able to give constructive feedback without hurting anybody. And from a previous workshop in Cameroon, one of the managers of a family planning center, and I won't say which one in the picture this was, but he said, "I was the biggest problem to my staff. Now I am different. I support my staff in their quality improvement efforts." We've observed several changes in the organization of work. For example, off-site supervisors conduct regular supervisory visits. And in one country, supervisors reported they conduct 8 to 10 supervisory visits during a course of 12 days every month. On-site supervisors apply medical monitoring checklists to assess the quality of services. Supervisors provide coaching. So, for example, in Bangladesh, a medical officer started giving on-the-job coaching in IUD insertion as part of the time that he spent at the site. In Bangladesh also, supervisors organize to offer specific sterilization services, tubectomy and vasectomy, in the site by bringing a visiting surgeon on a weekly basis to expand the range of services and methods that were available at that site. And the supervisors discuss and analyze service statistics with the staff. So rather than just collecting the data and carrying it away to another level in the health system, the analysis is done at the site level, and staff participate and get more benefit out of the information that they themselves are collecting. So this is an example from a workshop in Uganda where staff are taking what they gathered from the medical monitoring checklist and assessments and now developing an action plan for changes. So in Bangladesh, one of the changes was to redistribute contraceptive supplies based on local demand. You have one site within a given area that has an oversupply of one method, another site is out of stock. They're able to shift supplies from one location to another so that they're not out of stock. In Uganda, staff added educational sessions in multiple languages. Originally, they were only giving health information for the clients who are waiting for services in one language, but now they're doing this in three different languages. A couple other examples from Uganda, they rearranged the facility to ensure privacy and confidentiality during counseling and are using medical monitoring assessments as a way of identifying who needs training and what to be able to improve quality of care and expand the range of services being offered. So there are several examples of supervisors now playing an important role in the use of quality improvement and performance improvement tools and approaches at the sites. As I've already mentioned, medical monitoring is now being conducted. In addition, supervisors support COPE activities and participate in these exercises. Quality improvement activities are institutionalized. So in Bangladesh, the Directorate General for Family Planning has decided now to introduce facilitative supervision nationwide. And community COPE is another example in Azerbaijan that will be introduced. It's a variation on the COPE process. COPE is a facility-based quality improvement exercise. Community COPE brings in people from the community, different groups of people, who then have a say in what level of quality of care they want and what they can also contribute to improving those services. Facilitative supervision skills trainings are conducted for national level Ministry of Health staff, so this includes in Uganda and Azerbaijan, national and district level supervisors. And in Bangladesh, the supervision guidelines are being updated and developed. In Azerbaijan, a national strategy for family planning and reproductive health has been developed. In several countries, and in particular in Bolivia, infection prevention guidelines have been adapted and institutionalized. So in Bolivia, several NGOs have taken infection prevention guidelines adapted them for their own setting, distributed them widely, and now they've been shared with a pre-service auxiliary nursing school as part of their curriculum. In Azerbaijan, there's now a national strategy for quality that's under development. So to give some idea of how the supervision system relates to other parts of health systems, changes in human resources include revising job descriptions. In Azerbaijan and Bangladesh, these are under revision now, and that has already been completed in Uganda. Training providers are now linked with training resources based much more directly on the needs that are identified. Related to financing for health, in Uganda, following the facilitative supervision training, supervisors advocate for funding among community leaders and community members. And I mentioned some examples with the contraceptive supplies being redistributed based on needs. In addition, Azerbaijan initiated dialogue with the Ministry of Health to include contraceptives on the list of essential drugs, which is a major step forward. And in Uganda, inventory systems were improved. Related to monitoring and evaluation, the medical monitoring checklists have been adapted and applied. And in all of the different countries, these findings are being analyzed and action plans are developed, and service statistics forms in some places have also been adapted or updated. So this is an example in Bangladesh where the supervisors are doing a root cause analysis to get at what are the real reasons behind any gaps in the quality of care. So to summarize, what are the benefits to the supervisors in going through this, taking on this new approach to supervision? They have said that they feel more welcomed by staff because they help staff to solve their problems rather than criticize them for their faults. They have the satisfaction of working as a team member, watching staff learn and grow, and seeing quality improve. And they feel they gain a reputation as leaders and enablers. But let's also find out, what do the staff say and what do the clients say? So a couple examples. Staff feel empowered to solve routine and simple problems. One provider in Bolivia said, supervision is more humanized. And in the same site, a client who can sense the quality of care there said, the doctor was very good. She said, I will take care of everything. You are all my patients, and I have a lot of love for my patients. Thank you.
So I want to open this up either for questions to Erin about this presentation or in general, the evolution of the quality of care field, the things that you all have been doing, the client provider focus, the where do we go beyond kind of the traditional views of quality of care. I'll just throw out as a one thought from my prerogative of a chair is that in IPPF Western Hemisphere region, yes, we had the rights approach, but we also worked on a million different tools of different kinds and programs. We had the a self-assessment quality of care tool. We had a quality of care from a gender perspective manual. We had then things about sexuality, things about gender violence, things about incorporating HIV/AIDS into the decision-making about what contraceptives to use is a different aspect of quality. And there's a long way that things have gone all the way to kind of power relationship analysis. So the power dynamics between supervisor and provider were changing there. And there was a meeting and a publication some years ago about power and sexual relationships between husband and wife, between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, between provider and client. And looking more deeply at that was also considered an outgrowth of the whole quality of care movement and approach. So that's my little two cents for it. Who would like to chime in with something from your own? Yes, would you speak up?
That's a great question. And as part of the Acquire project, we struggle with being able to measure the health outcomes of all the various interventions that we're doing. But I would say what the Acquire project has done as a whole globally is to choose the three or four priority focus countries and those include Bolivia, Bangladesh, Azerbaijan, and Tanzania. Now, Tanzania I didn't mention in this session, but the other three countries have had a baseline that was done at the beginning of the five-year acquire project, and at the end we'll have an end line. So through that we'll really be able to make as best a statement as we can about the level of the utilization of health services and be able to describe what were all the interventions in those same sites.
Other comments, questions? Sharon? Yes, please. That's one question I have in my mind. It seems to me that for almost literally decades now, different groups, different NGOs, different agencies have been coming up with tools. To some extent, there's a danger here that we're reinventing the wheel, that we're not really building on what's already been done, that there is no clearinghouse, that we don't know everything that exists or has existed. Doesn't matter, that's the way of all knowledge creation. But in a way, I'm thinking so much of the huge effort that IPPFWHR put into these tools, which I think it probably disappeared off the website, disappeared off of the radar screen. I don't know, I haven't looked at the IPPFWHR website lately, but that's just another thought. Yeah.
Information and basically used the domains suggested by the evaluation project, by Judith Bruce, by others, to kind of figure out what questions might have anything to do with quality at all. And that's how we started out with our 112 survey items. And through the factory analysis process, some of them dropped out. And that was those are some of the slides I didn't show you, but there was one question, for example, there was one domain that we had grouped together several questions that asked about materials posted in the facilities, or, you know, just like readily available to clients like that. And if that, we thought maybe that would be an indicator of some aspect of quality. And that didn't seem to correlate well with any of the other indicators. And so the methodology we used, it dropped out. And then I guess the other point is just the second part of the analysis, the Kininger market evaluation. I think I was remiss because I should have started out by saying that the objective of my study wasn't, you know, wasn't to look at the quality of a particular facility or a particular intervention, but rather to look at how choices, how we might make choices or how we might use this quality information for further analysis, and particularly analysis with regards to equity and with regards to comparisons between the different types of facilities, the franchise facilities, the government facilities, the NGO facilities. And unfortunately, we weren't able to come to any conclusions based upon the data that we had, but thought that just the exercise of measuring quality in and of itself was useful.
I think that what we should do is bring the session to a formal close and let people chat if you have other questions. So let's have a round of applause. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.